You know, there's a little bit of a problem when we hear a story that we know very, very well. We have a tendency to sort of listen to the words, but not really hear what's being said. We tend to just let it kind of roll over us and wash over us, as if it's just we already know the details, so we don't need to listen to them. Well, that's a little bit dangerous, especially when we hear a story that is so familiar and yet so terribly important to us, as is today's gospel lesson. We've all heard this story. It's the same gospel that's read every Easter Sunday. And so, unless this is our first time, our first Easter, you've heard it before. So what I'd like you to do is to take a moment and think a little bit while I point out to you, like a tour guide along the way, some of the smaller details that you may or may not have missed along the way. For example, at the very outset of the gospel, Mary goes to find Jesus, to just have a word, pay some respects. In another story from another gospel teller, we hear how the women had prepared to go and anoint his body to finish the burial customs of the day. But we don't get that in this gospel. We just have Mary going there alone. And she's very concerned because all of a sudden nothing seems to be the way it was when she first left there the day before, or 2 days before perhaps. And so she runs back and she goes to tell Simon, Peter, and John that she has seen something a little unusual. Something's not quite right. Something is amiss. And so the men go. Now, sorry, ladies, but the reality is, in Jesus' time, men didn't listen to women very well at all. In fact, they usually thought them to be a bit histrionic and hysterical. And so they probably said, oh, this nonsense story, let's go see for ourselves. And so they rushed out. Now, the interesting little detail here, too, is that it was Peter and John. Now, we know from other legends and customs and parts of the gospel that John was probably the youngest of the disciples, Jesus' closest circle. In fact, he was one of the inner circle of Jesus, along with the sons of Zebedee and Simon. And so they take off and they are running, it says. They're rushing. Now, we know who Peter is. Peter's an experienced fisherman. So he's probably a bit gnarled and, you know, having worked out on the boats and in the water, probably doesn't move quite as quickly as his younger counterpart, John. Not quite as athletic. And so he falls behind, but John races to the tomb. And he gets there first. Well, but he's a chicken. He gets there first, but now that he's there, he's really afraid to go in and figure things out. So he just sort of peers in and then hangs out at the door. Finally then, Peter, older, we hope a little wiser, comes in and he gets there and he finally says, oh, all right. So, you know, he walks into the tomb to inspect what's going on there. And he finds things as the gospel describes them. And finally, John gets enough gumption he musters enough courage to go in and see for himself what's going on in that tomb. They don't see anything. All they see is the linen wrappings as described. So they come out, and whether they're shaking their heads, scratching their heads, trying to figure out what's going on, they don't quite get it, so they just simply start going home. Probably a little worried about what's going on, but not too, you know, there's not too much going on there. But Mary hangs back. She's at the door of the tomb and she's crying. She's weeping. And the reason she's weeping, perhaps, is because even though she knows that Jesus is dead, she watched his body being carried and laid in that tomb. So it's not weeping for the loss of Jesus at that point, but maybe it's the kind of fear that we all get when we see something and it's not as it should be. We all have certain expectations. We all expect certain things to follow one thing on another. For example, Jesus died on the cross, his body was taken down, it was washed, it was wrapped in linen, and put in the tomb, the stone rolled across it. So what would you expect when he went there? To see a stone. But no, her world all of a sudden is very different than what she expected. The stone had been rolled back. Not only that, she peered in, and there was no body there. So she gets really concerned, and that's why she runs to Peter and John, and they didn't help matters any. They just kind of wanted to see for themselves. And once they did, they went home. It was Mary who stood back there and was waiting, just waiting. What's going to happen? What is going on here? She's trying to figure this out. And it's concerning her so much that she begins to weep. And then suddenly, she peers in again, and there are these two men. And it's interesting because they're described as lightning. They're so bright. Have you ever looked at lightning? Right? You did. And it's really bright, isn't it? Yeah. It's all over the place. It could blind you if you looked at it too long. It's like looking at the sun. We did that, we would hurt ourselves. But Mary sees these men, and that's what they look like. They look like lightning. And she hears a voice that simply says, "Woman, what are you looking for?" And she says, "Well, what did you do with him?" So she turns around and she sees what she thinks is the gardener. Doesn't recognize Jesus. Doesn't recognize him, has this conversation with him. Until Jesus calls her name. Until Jesus says, "Mary." And suddenly it's the way he probably said that name while they were at home at dinner in Bethany with Martha, Mary's sister, and Lazarus, his friend. It was a familiar name. It was a name that was very much part of his dialogue, part of his way of living. They were very close friends. He says, "Mary." And that voice, the tone of voice, the way he says the name, brings it all back to her. She begins to realize that this is really Jesus. You know, back when I was a lad, a youngster, now this is going to date me a little bit, one Christmas, I got a little tape recorder. It wasn't even a cassette recorder. This is pre-cassette. Had little 3-inch reels of acetate tape. And my mom used to leave messages for me on it. We used to record things. I used to walk around like I was the intrepid reporter, asking people at family parties to talk, you know, that sort of thing. And one day I would take out the reel and I was